turn it, leave it, stop, format it. Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom.
Hello to all of you out there in radio and internet land. This is Steven.
And this is Chris.
And you are listening to episode 51 of That Computer Show, your source for the latest in gaming and technology news. On today's fiery hot episode, I'm going to tune you all into what is quite possibly the most dangerous toy since lawn darts.
I miss lawn darts,
the
man.
The flaming hacky sack. Somebody had to be high when they were creating this.
Wow.
Got some cool news. Microsoft is going to relax the digital rights management on the Xbox 360, which means many much goodness for some of our gamers out there. And a great day for Diablo fanboys. Diablo 3 has been announced.
Yeah, I was checking out that page.
It's like everywhere, so we have to talk about it.
I know there's one Blizzard fanboy at the store that just...
He's probably, I'm sure he's freaking out. And to help prevent hacking of your coveted World of Warcraft account, enter the Blizzard Authenticator.
Do what?
He's awesome. We'll talk about it. It's the Blizzard Authenticator. It's a zero. It's T0R instead of O-R. Tor. Anyway, we are footloose and fancy free today on That Computer Show. Okay, so where do we want to start? Xbox 360?
Why not?
Okay.
Tell me why this is important. DRM,
well,
what is that?
Okay. If you buy stuff, like movies, video games, whatever, through your Xbox 360, it's tied to you. You can't move it, shake it, transfer it, stuff like that. There's digital rights. Just like with the whole MP3 revolution, you can't... I can't take my movie that I've recorded on my TiVo and put it on your TiVo, or off my Time Warner DVR and put it on.
Okay.
You know, it's digital rights management.
So does that apply to like save games on my Xbox 360? Can I not take my save games over to somebody else's house? Or is it more like my Guitar Hero tracks?
Yeah.
Or Rock Band tracks, rather.
Yeah, Rock Band stuff. So basically, and I'm going to send you the link right now so you can peek along with me. Anyway, Microsoft has finally addressed the DRM issue with content you've purchased on your 360. In the past, if you bought a new console, you couldn't transfer the licenses. So even if you, Chris, radio host, had an Xbox 360, you bought a new one, you couldn't move your stuff over to your new 360.
What if it was broken?
Sucks to be you.
But I paid for that stuff.
Sucks to be you. Anyway, one customer who was actually told by an Xbox 360 CSR allegedly to buy the content again. So anyway, you can now visit a page on Xbox.com and transfer your licenses to a new console.
Okay.
So you can't quite pick it up and move it, say, bring it to the store and you know, put it on there, but you can now transfer your stuff.
Which is, that's good news, because I have a lot of friends who've had broken Xboxes.
Well, the Red Rings of Death.
Yeah, and I mean, if you bought extra maps for Call of Duty 4, or if you've got extra tracks for, you know, Rock Band.
Yeah, like we downloaded the Portal theme song.
We downloaded like $30 or $40 worth of extra tracks.
I know, I paid for it. But yeah, it's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, so, I like the Police tracks though.
Did I tell you I played the bass on Hard?
Excellent.
No, Hard.
Oh.
No, but I did pretty good. I didn't do excellent, but it was like, you don't quite suck, and was what it said to me. Unlike the Wii Fit, you know, who says you're fat.
Yeah. We've been lazy. We haven't actually been playing Wii Fit, if that's the operative
term. No, I feel bad, and I need to, because we actually have a couple guys at the store who are out to beat my hula hoop record. So, both Brian and Kyle are both like, oh, you're going down, hula boy! And I was like, I can't even do a hula hoop in real life, but on Wii Fit, I own PWN ponies. Anyway, okay, so I gotta say, lawn darts. We love lawn darts, right?
I once emptied a pool with a lawn dart.
Oh my gosh. You know, and I had a whole lot of friends at the start of that summer. At the end of that summer, most had been hospitalized, but we had fun doing it. Lawn darts. Actually, you know, there was apparently a game in the, it was a not a board game, but like a scientist kit back in the 50s or 60s. It was a, it had uranium.
Oh, yeah, I remember reading about this on a list of the most dangerous toys.
It's the 1950s Atomic Energy Lab. It included actual radioactive uranium ore.
Complete with cancer.
Yeah, wow. So anyway, this...
Why are you sick, Grandpa? Because I played a board game in the 50s.
Oh, gosh, that's and you're a five-legged
awful.
Dog. So,
awful.
New toy, the Fire Foot Bag.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to have to explain this to me.
It's $24.99, so call now.
A $25 flaming ball of death.
It is essentially a hacky sack made from flame-proof Kevlar fibers. You soak it in kerosene and set it on fire before you kick it around.
A redneck invented this.
I don't know. Or a skater somewhere.
Because it had to be a Haybo moment. Haybo, watch this.
I don't know. Well, it's just... I'm just saying. And actually, in this article, this ambulance guy, he says, "So if I were one of those ambulance-chasing lawyers, I'd be heading to the toy store right now so I could slip my business card into every box." Because invariably, I mean, now what I really like about this article, and I found this on Device, it's Sci-Fi's website for like cool inventions and technology. The comments are great. By Nick, "These people must have been smoking pot when they came up with this idea. Neither did shop buyers think hard when these things made their way to the shelves. Some things just make me wonder how stupid and short-sighted many people may be." Now, another comment by a gentleman named Randall. "On the other hand, acetone soaked and lit on fire tennis balls are fairly safe. If you're just kicking them around, they might singe hairs if you're not careful, but I've never had a problem, not even wearing sandals." Interestingly enough, this gentleman is also responsible for the California fires last year, apparently. I mean, all right, you're going to set a tennis ball or a hacky sack on fire and then kick it around. I hope you don't have furry pets.
That's just nuts.
Yeah. Okay, so... parents, don't buy one for your kid. But if you do, send us a screenshot. We'll put it on the website. And actually, a related article, a spray-on skin gun. Did you read about this?
The spray-on skin?
Skin gun. Yeah, actually, the military's working on it. They're spending about $220 million on researching this. Basically, it's for battlefield combat, or if you're apparently a professional hacky sack player. Scientists are working on a gun that sprays stem cell-infused skin onto a wound. Speeds up the healing process to a matter of hours.
Very interesting. Yeah. Like Band-Aids, but aerosol.
Skin, yeah.
Seems like I remember seeing that in a movie. Star Trek.
Yeah, and they like some sci-fi stuff have had like synth flesh and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which yeah. Oh, dear, my can of skin is out. I wonder if you could turn it upside down and freeze bugs with the propellant that they use.
Be interesting.
Ew.
If you get a little skin on them, they're like trapped in a little... yeah.
Oh, dear.
Sorry, this is... totally not part of the show.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, folks.
Okay, so we digress. What else do we have to talk about? Okay, yeah, Diablo 3. Did you wanna say anything about Diablo 3?
Not
did
really.
You ever play Diablo?
I never played Diablo.
What?
I'm not a Diablo fan, but I
thought you were an American citizen.
I am. I'm an American citizen, not a Korean citizen.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, if I were Korean American, it would probably be part of like my daily routine.
Yeah.
Wake up, play
brush
Diablo.
Brush teeth, eat breakfast, play Diablo.
Have some kimchi. Ooh, I love kimchi.
Ooh, we're hungry.
We're going to have to eat some Korean food.
Man. Is Blue Cactus open today?
I think they're not open on Sundays.
Arc. Okay. Anyway, Diablo 3. It's basically a long-standing video game series. People have been speculating about the third one for a long time. Blizzard announced it. They gave a brief demo, although it was not playable. But, honestly, if you're not a Diablo 3 fan, there's really not a whole lot here for you. But if your kids play Diablo, mention that the Diablo 3 is coming out. After you pick them up off the floor, they'll probably hug you.
So what's... okay, you're going to have to fill me in. What... I know what the word Diablo means. What is the story, the backstory of this game, and why is the third installment... what makes it so special?
Well, I mean, the obvious answer is it's more Diablo.
Okay.
Basically...
that says a lot.
The cool thing about Diablo, it was one of the first multiplayer online games that it was pretty easy to cheat at, or pretty hard to cheat at initially. It got easy. But the levels, the maps, were all randomly generated. So if you and your buddies went down to fight the Butcher, who was like the first level boss, the map was different. He'd be in a different place. There was different treasure and tons of weapons. You know, magic swords or fireballs, mana potions, stuff like that.
Wow, the graphics look really good.
Yeah, I mean, and back in the day, even now, the original Diablo it's pretty. It's fun to play. They had a second one. You have different. You can be a magician or a warrior or a archer. They have different classes.
So is this played like a third person RTS, or is it more like a?
It's basically a click and it's called a click and kill. You click on a bad guy with your left mouse button to attack him. You cut him to pieces. Hopefully he doesn't cut you to pieces. And I mean, it's very simple to play. You can play it with just a mouse. You don't have a whole bunch of keys.
Could you play it with a touch screen?
I don't know. That would be an interesting
test. I did see an interesting demonstration of StarCraft played with a touch screen in Linux.
I've always thought that RTSs and stuff like that would be cool in a touch screen. So I'll post some stuff about Blizzard's their new Diablo, but I do want to talk about the Blizzard Authenticator.
Yes, do tell me about the Blizzard Authenticator.
Okay, from Blizzard's website, blizzard.com, to help players avoid unauthorized account access, we're introducing the Blizzard Authenticator, a keychain token that generates codes that must be entered when signing into the linked World of Warcraft account. Please check out the official announcement or visit the information page. Okay, so basically you look at this thing and it's a little keychain with a little set of numbers on it, and it says Blizzard on it. So basically, to keep people from... if you go to a game center a lot, and you're afraid somebody might steal your password...
Yeah.
It basically randomly generates a password that you type into the authenticator.
Interesting.
And they actually use this for all kinds... Like government all kinds of industries.
Is it
this.
An electronic device or just a number?
And it's a little keychain with a little LED, and it types out the number you type in. So... You can buy it for $6.50. It's not out yet. But we have a lot of guys who come into the store and game, and we've never had any issues with theft. But, in some areas, theft of your video game account, it's rampant. People get hacked all the time, and, they'll steal all your items, sell them on eBay, and then just leave you cold and naked in the rain. So when you log in, you're cold and naked in the rain. So... if you take your World of Warcraft seriously, this is going to be the must-have gadget for the holidays.
And running a gaming store, we know people who take this game too seriously.
Honestly, we might actually stock this, because there are a lot of guys who would be like, oh, I need that. I need a 7-digit random number to let me log in. Blizzard Authenticator.
Let's continue on with the gaming news.
Okay, what you got?
And I've lost my article here.
Mind?
That as well.
Okay.
So last week we talked about PhysX running on
NVIDIA's
cards with the newest drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not to be outdone, some guys, some ATI fanboys, decided they would hack the ATI driver to allow them to run PhysX on their ATI cards as well.
Very interesting.
Yeah, so they get the benefit of the physics boost.
So for like Unreal Tournament 3, which had some amazing physics if you have a PhysX card.
Yeah, and
Ghost
basically...
Ghost Recon 2 does it too, I think.
So there's speculation that either NVIDIA will bring down the lawyer wrath onto ATI or license it to them. Because the thought is, if they don't allow them to use PhysX, then it's going to die.
Yeah, because very few games take advantage. I mean, PhysX, I hate to say it, it was a cool concept, but it was a dumb concept.
Yeah, it was cool in the fact that we could use a processor to calculate, particle physics and stuff, and offload that from the CPU and the video card.
Like, here, buy this $200 card to do what your video card already does.
Or your CPU already does.
Yeah.
One of those extra cores that are just sitting there twiddling its thumbs. But great concept, came out too late.
And too expensive.
Very, very much so. Now, if it was like a $50 part, hey, I'd put a $50 part in my computer to make it faster. But the hardware that's on a video card and your processor is so much more powerful than this little card. Why not do it in software?
Yeah, I think...
what I'm really waiting for, and AMD and ATI are working on this, is the real-time ray tracing. To allow you to see, instead of, we got great lighting effects now, but ray tracing mimics the exact behavior of light when it hits an object, goes through an object, so it makes the world look, real.
Yes, AMD Cinema 2.0.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about that. Well, with that, it looks like it's the end of segment one. After the break, we're going to fill you in on Bill Gates' recent departure of Microsoft.
Aww.
Yeah, that's right. You heard me. And we might chat a little bit more about the ATI modders. I'm excited about it, but I don't know how fast it's going to hit. And we're also going to take your call-ins and comments, 803-742-1230. Listen in on WOIC 1230 Columbia or stream us from thatcomputershow.net. It's back up and running. Remember, 742-1230. Call us and get in on the action. Stay tuned. That Computer Show will be right back.
Remember the days when you had a mechanic that worked solely on your car, someone you trusted and knew by name? Those days are back. His name? Randy Tootin, the owner of CV Rebuilders and Auto Repair. Randy Tootin takes pride in providing expert service, specializing in remanufactured CV joints, axles, and complete auto repair. CV Rebuilders Auto Repair skilled mechanics understand today's complex engines and get repairs done right the first time, which includes marine engines as well. Before you go to the lake, make sure your engine's in proper working order. CV Rebuilders and Auto Repair is a full line of mechanics that understand that too. CV Rebuilders and Auto Repair. Your hometown mechanic is back. CV Rebuilders and Auto Repair.
CV Rebuilders and Auto Repair has now moved to a new location. Visit them at 1268 Main Street, South Congaree. Give them a call at 955-9599. That's 955-9599.
Your local Rheem contractor likes to keep things simple, so here are the facts. When you're cold, you want a heating system that will keep you warm. And when you're hot, you want a cooling system that will keep you cool. We recommend Rheem Package Units, which do just that. Rheem Package Units combine high-quality air conditioning and heating systems into one compact unit. Save money with a dependable, all-in-one comfort of a compact Rheem Package Unit. Financing available. Call Tri-City Fuel and Heating at 796-9172 and experience big savings in a small package.
You know those cool special effects that make digital photos look like film strips, oil paintings, or pencil sketches? Ever wonder how they're done? Well, I'm about to let you in on the secret. Graphics professionals do all that magical stuff with one little click using plugins from Alien Skin Software. They've been making photo filters and design plugins since 94, and now they're making them available to try for free for 30 days. Download your demo for Adobe Photoshop, Photoshop Elements, or Corel Paint Shop Pro plugins at alienskin.com. Alien Skin.
Backaches and headaches. We all have them from time to time. For some, backaches are a part of everyday life, and those with headaches know how they hamper just about every daily function. You've also tried every medication and remedy to rid yourself of these problems. Well, today, there's a solution. Dr. Gene Garris of the Garris Spine Center. Dr. Garris is a family practice chiropractor. As a specialist in back-related spine problems, Dr. Garris first listens to you and your problem and takes the time to find out about you and your lifestyle. Medication can solve the problem, but Dr. Garris will find out if it's the right medication. Many related head and back problems can be traced to the spine, the highway from the head to the tailbone and the lower part of your back. The Garris Spine Center is the leader in spine-related problems. Whether you're 5, 15, 35, or 75, you don't have to live with back pain. Not when we have the specialist at the Garris Spine Center. Call Dr. Gene Garris for an appointment and start living the life you want again. The Garris Spine Center, 790-1850, 790-1815.
Get ready for the best pizza ever. Stevie B's Pizza Buffet, 5424 Forest Drive in the Walmart Plaza.
Stevie B's has the best pizza buffet in the Midlands with great pizza like potato skin, taco, cheeseburger, barbecue, BLT pizza, white pizza, and Stevie B's meat lovers.
Stevie B's all-you-can-eat lunch and dinner buffet is only $4.29 for adults and $2.99 for kids 10 and under. And that includes Stevie B's large salad bar and always free refills on drinks.
Stevie B's party packages are fun, too, for birthdays, youth groups, family gatherings, group meetings, and more.
It's a simple idea. Provide great food, a family fun atmosphere, the freshest ingredients, and the best pizza around, and you've got Stevie B's B's Pizza Buffet. Stevie B's. Dine in or take out at 5424 Forest Drive or call 738-0877. 738-0877 for Stevie B's Pizza Buffet.
Have you heard about Valpak.com? It's the online version of the famous Valpak Blue Envelope with even more great offers. At Valpak.com, you could find savings for your home, coupons for eating out,
table for two,
or maybe even discounts on gardening services. Every day is different. Sometimes Valpak.com has savings on long-distance service. Other times you might find discounts on long-distance travel. To discover today's savings for yourself, just log on to www.valpak.com. Enter your zip code and start browsing our online coupons. Depending on when you visit ValPak.com, you might find savings on pet care, car care, or even hair care. You could come across a coupon for martial arts. Or save on CDs from the top of the charts. At ValPak.com, you're in control. Just click the coupons that interest you and print them out any day, anytime. So, how does that sound? ValPak.com. There are more savings online for you.
That Computer Show is back from the break.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hi, everybody. Okay, so, Bill Gates.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Bill Gates. Who's Bill Gates?
He's that nerdy guy that started a helped found a company back in 79, something like
that.
What
was that company? Micro, Little, something?
They changed their name to Microsoft.
Microsoft. They make that program, what, Windows and Office.
Yeah, I remember when Windows was a program.
Not an operating system.
It was a program, and I ran that program. You booted your computer, and you had this flashing prompt, and you typed W-I-N, enter. And then you had to wait, and you get this weird-looking block of... Looks like somebody took a square and squiggled it and make it move really fast with lines, and you sat there and waited and waited and waited. Ooh, and now you have pretty graphics.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the birth of Windows kind of compressed down to Chris. Anyway, Bill Gates... Friday, June 27th, was his last full day as a full-time employee of Microsoft. After 33 years at the company, he was once the richest man in the world. I don't think so now, but he's retiring, age 52. Said he wants to spend more time guiding the charitable Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So, now, Chris, you and I were talking on the way here about an email that was leaked out from Bill about Windows XP. He was complaining about a feature.
Yeah. Where's my Bill Gates? I have 5 pages of him leaving, and I can't find my one email.
Well, while you're looking for that, he's still going to be Microsoft's chairman, and he is the largest shareholder.
Ah, here we go.
But unofficially, this is the end of his career.
Yeah, and I don't know. After reading this email,
mm-hmm.
I'm starting to gain a little insight into the man behind the Microsoft. And I was remarking in the car that he's kind of a hard person to hate, honestly. You can hate the behemoth that is Microsoft, the company, and mm-hmm. still like a lot of things they do.
Well,
you know, Microsoft Office is a pretty decent application or suite of applications. Windows kind of... Well, you know how I feel about Windows.
Yeah, whine, complain. Anyway,
but I was struck by this email that Bill Gates sent to Jim Allchin and a small group of Windows developers, research NT and things like that, developers at Microsoft, describing his experience, if you will, trying to install Windows Movie Maker in Windows XP.
Mm-hmm.
And this is back in 2003, and I'm not going to quote the entire email, but some snippets. He did not sound very happy. He called his own site slow, unresponsive, and basically chewed out. And what is it like to get chewed out by the rich? He was the richest man in the world.
Yes,
then.
I would be filled with fear.
And in the IT realm, he's the most powerful IT person or personality. To be chewed out and says that, you know, this sucks.
Yeah, I mean... Oh, gosh, just imagine having that told to you. But, I mean, admittedly, I mean, well, you've heard what he said about Vista.
Yeah, and one of my favorite quotes from this email, I'm sorry, I was waiting on that sound, I was hoping it would actually come through, is he said he was speaking to the lead at the Microsoft Download website.
Mm-hmm.
And... I can't find
actually, hold that thought, because it looks like we actually have a call on the line. Caller, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hi there. What can we do for you today?
I was listening, and I don't understand what you're talking about.
You know, I get that a lot. In reference to the Bill Gates thing?
Yes, I was just trying to understand it.
Well, okay, to break it down, and you may want to turn your radio down just a little bit. Bill Gates founded Microsoft, and if you have used a computer probably in the past 15 years, you've seen Windows or some other Microsoft product, Windows XP, Windows Vista, Microsoft Office, basically the programs that run your computer and allow your computer to run programs. He owns the company that basically produced all those products. And he was the richest man in the world, and he retired. The real news here is that he's not really retiring. You know, he's still the chairman of Microsoft. He still holds...
He'll be a permanent chairman. He's one of the founders. And I saw an interesting photograph, actually, the other day concerning his stepping down. It's a photograph that was done in 83 of all of the members of Microsoft.
Oh, yeah, that famous photo.
And then...
lot of brown, lot of khaki.
Wow, and Bill Gates was the only one without facial hair. Everybody else had like huge beards and really big glasses.
Yeah,
and it just it was interesting to me to see what it took to be truly a geek.
The stereotypical origin of
in the late 70s versus what it is now. Because I consider myself to be a geek, and I'm in a striped shirt, a pair of pants, I'm looking.
And they're actually both clean for the most part.
But this guy was. I mean, that was wow. And then there's another photograph, obviously, of them 30 years later with Bill Gates still doesn't have any facial hair. I think he's incapable of growing the stuff.
Yeah.
So
he actually doesn't look like he aged a whole lot.
He's aged very well.
Yeah.
But most extremely rich billionaires, too.
Well, you know, one of his other big projects is in biogenetics research.
He's probably going to be one of the first people to have themselves frozen and then reanimated. Yeah. He can probably afford it. But like I was saying, my favorite quote from this email was when he was speaking to Amir, which is the head of their download.
Oh, yeah, Amir, okay.
So they told me that using the download page to download something was not something they anticipated.
What? That was his response?
Yes, that was Amir's response.
Wow.
They told me, quote, not to go to the main page to the download page to search for something, but go back to the main page and search for Movie Space Maker, not Movie Maker, which is the name of the product. So, yeah. The interesting thing, though, Bill Gates basically, in this long email, chewed these people out for things like...
So it kind of...
Like not making it easy.
So it kind of sounds like he really didn't have a whole lot of input in the products that his company created.
You can't really blame Bill for Windows XP being... kind of clunky, and their website for being kind of clunky.
Yeah. The company has definitely gotten away from him.
But if you look at Apple, Steve Jobs has a lot, he has his hands in pretty much all of the flow and design stuff.
It's funny, if you look at the patent documentation for the iPhone.
Oh, yeah, his name's on there.
At the top, he takes basically full credit for the iPhone.
Well, it kind of unfairly, but the man makes sure that anything with his name on it, it's gonna go through his hands, and it's gonna pass his idea of what it should be like.
Well, I think
and it's visionaries like Steve Jobs and Bill Gates that created the landscape that we have, the computer landscape, the type of interfaces we use. You know, the fact that computers are cheap, we have operating systems that are complex and allow us to do things like watch YouTube and listen to MP3s and write up documents all on the same piece of equipment. These guys were visionaries. And you're right, the company was taken away, basically, out of his hands. He just had, I think, way too much on his plate.
Yeah.
Bill Gates, rather, is extremely disappointed with Windows Vista. He refuses to speak positively about it. And even in interviews, he says, wait until our next release of Windows before I even say anything about Vista.
Yeah, he basically is waiting to badmouth it.
Yeah. I think that he's very disappointed, as we all are, that Vista was supposed to be this great shining beacon of Windows love
and hope and peace and you know
it turned out to be a train and we're all trying to get out of the way.
I
was speaking to you about my and I was trying not to make it a gripe because I do kind of do that about I decided this morning that I would boot my notebook into Windows Vista,
right?
Shock and amazement, because there's a couple applications I needed to use to edit some audio, and they're already installed in my Vista installation, and they wouldn't work in Linux.
So for those of you at home who have no idea what Chris is talking about, he uses Linux, which is an alternate operating system. There's Windows, there's Linux, there's macOS. There's a ton of them, but Ubuntu Linux is one of the most popular, and he cringes when I say this, alternative operating systems. It doesn't.
It's the third largest operating system installed today, behind OS X.
Okay,
which is the Mac operating system.
So that's what he uses Linux a lot. Some might call him a fanatic. Actually, everybody might call him a fanatic.
Yeah, I've moved from user to fanatic status. I decided to boot into Windows Vista to use those applications, and was kind of disappointed after a while because I'd grown so accustomed to my Linux interface, mm-hmm. which in the past, Linux was very rough around the edges. You had a lot of sacrifices to make. It wasn't as pretty, and Vista is pretty, but it's only pretty on the surface. Not pretty for a real usable reason, where a lot of people say, yeah, well, the way the whole graphic desktop is kind of just, that's what it's for, just to be pretty. I use a lot of those features in Linux. My desktop cube, I can have multiple programs running on different virtual desktops that are on different sides of my virtual monitor,
mm-hmm.
and it keeps me organized. I can't do that in Windows. I feel very constrained. And the Vista interface is pretty just to be pretty. Not to add functionality.
Yeah, I mean, I know that there was some argument that the blurring the desktop outline of your windows increases readability and usability.
I do like that feature.
I do too, but I mean, I do see your point. Ubuntu, a lot of the usability features in Ubuntu are, they actually help usability, whereas with Windows Vista, it's just to make it prettier. Now, I use Vista almost exclusively because the apps that I use, I can't get them to work in Linux yet. And I really kind of like the Linux interface, the Ubuntu interface, a little more. I like the way the cube goes and the screen, and I like those things. I'd like to see a melding of the two. And I'm, you know, maybe I'm a little shiny, happy people. You know, duckies and bunnies and pizza falling from the sky as you're running through the field with flowers. And, you know, but we're not there yet. But I do agree that Windows is kind
of... We're getting very close. One of the biggest drawbacks of Linux was its usability.
Mm-hmm.
And it was told that, to all people, Linux is not for the average Joe. And it has gotten to the point now where I think that statement is false. We have several customers that come into our store, you know, that one of them, Mr. Fox,
mm-hmm.
has been using Linux per his son, recommended it, for almost 2.5 years.
Right.
And he comes in occasionally with the average with computer questions,
mm-hmm.
but he's just your average user.
And he is. I mean, he just drives around. I guess he travels a lot, and he's been real happy with it.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of customers who are, I think they're jumping on that bandwagon.
Can't wait till Windows 7.
Yeah.
Now, of course, I said I can't wait till Windows Vista. No.
Well, yeah.
No, disappointment.
Okay. Now, Chris, real quick, because we were talking about the video card stuff earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Can you, for those at home, because you showed me a really cool article during the break, can you kind of explain where we're going with video rendering technology and why the physics and some of these, the ray tracing is what you were talking about during the break?
Yes. What ray tracing does is it mimics what light does when it hits an object or goes through an object. It calculates how light behaves
okay.
in an image or a movie. Up to now, we've been pretending to do what light does. We simulate it.
Mm-hmm.
With this, you actually it calculates it in
wow.
real time.
Okay, so let's chat about that a little bit. It looks like we've got a break coming up. It might just be time to pay the bills. You are listening to WOIC 1230 AM or streaming live from thatcomputershow.net. Don't forget to give us a call, 803-742-1230, and stay tuned to learn about Malaysia's BitTorrent blackout. What exactly that means. Preventing piracy or oppressing fair use. And Robot Wars is back. Help us fight the future and prepare yourself for more robots on the battlefield. Sit tight. We'll be right back after the break.
The days when you had a mechanic that worked solely on your car. Someone you trusted and knew by name. Those days are back. His name? Randy Tootin, the owner of CV Rebuilders and Auto Repair. Randy Tootin takes pride in providing expert service, specializing in remanufactured CV joints, axles, and complete auto repair. CV Rebuilders Auto Repair skilled mechanics understand today's complex engines and get repairs done right the first time, which includes marine engines as well.
Before you go to the lake, make sure your engine's in proper working order. CV Rebuilders and Auto Repair is a full line of mechanics that understand that too. CV Rebuilders and Auto Repair. Your hometown mechanic is back. CV Rebuilders and Auto Repair.
CV Rebuilders and Auto Repair has now moved to a new location. Visit them at 1268 Main Street, South Congaree. Give them a call at 955-9599. That's 955-9599.
Your local Rheem contractor likes to keep things simple, so here are the facts. When you're cold, you want a heating system that will keep you warm. And when you're hot, you want a cooling system that will keep you cool. We recommend Rheem Package Units, which do just that. Rheem Package Units combine high-quality air conditioning and heating systems into one compact unit. Save money with a dependable, all-in-one comfort of a compact Rheem Package Unit. Financing available. Call Tri-City Fuel and Heating at 796-9172 and experience big savings in a small package.
You know those cool special effects that make digital photos look like film strips, oil paintings, or pencil sketches? Ever wonder how they're done? Well, I'm about to let you in on the secret. Graphics professionals do all that magical stuff with one little click using plugins from Alien Skin Software. They've been making photo filters and design plugins since 94, and now they're making them available to try for free for 30 days. Download your demo for Adobe Photoshop, Photoshop Elements, or Corel Paint Shop Pro plugins at alienskin.com. AlienSkin.com.
Alrighty, we're back. That was kind of a quickie.
Yeah.
Kind of fast. We were talking about some cool stuff during the break. Okay, I wanted to mention this while I'm thinking about it. Because, you know, spastic mind, energy drinks, and it doesn't always stick. The Malaysian government has ordered torrent sites shut down. Now, you may think, well, I'm in the United States. Who gives, you know, I don't care. But this really kind of speaks to something larger than just Malaysia cutting out some websites. But basically, reports are coming in that the government in Malaysia has ordered the immediate suspension of many BitTorrent trackers hosted in the country. In a shocking move, the government cited the Copyright Act 1987 and has ordered both hosts to suspend servers hosting BitTorrent sites pending an investigation.
Interesting.
Now, BitTorrent, as we have talked about in the past, it's basically a technology that allows you, Joe Schmo user, to download a file or an update or a patch, not from one source that may be down, maybe having traffic issues or whatever, but you can download it from hundreds and thousands of other people who have that file or who are getting that file. Now, it's used a lot for piracy, downloading illegal adult content, MP3s, movies, things like that. But it's also used by a ton of legitimate organizations to put out patches, fixes for broken software.
Blizzard uses it, and wow.
Updates for video games, yeah.
I use it when I download a distribution of Linux. I can get it, yep. And get it faster from Torrent.
Because
I do kind of occasionally use it for other purposes, but I would be upset if I lost the ability to access torrents. Yeah.
Now,
there, so, almost as upset as I am about losing Usenet.
Yeah, which nobody's going to know what that means, but we can explain it to them. But basically, there are a lot of people in Malaysia. And I mean, okay, there is a valid, legitimate argument that they're doing this to prevent the rampant abuse of intellectual property, illegally downloading music, illegally downloading movies, trading software where they shouldn't be. But if you just randomly cut BitTorrent traffic to an entire country, there are a lot of legitimate users and uses that are just being kind of left out in the cold. And interestingly enough, something similar is happening in China right now as we speak.
Yeah, I was reading about that they're blocking SourceForge,
mm-hmm.
which is the world's largest development and download repository of open source code and applications.
Now, I'm going to translate that. Basically, it's a website where you can search and download all sorts of free software. People will... you hear us talking about open source. People will collaborate, make a new product, and then when they make an update to it, they put it on SourceForge because, man, you can find almost anything on SourceForge.
Yeah, in fact, I had to download an application just a moment ago while we're on the air. I'm in Windows. Mm-hmm. I don't have my Instant Messenger program in Windows.
Okay.
I had to go download it. Where first place it sent me to, SourceForge.
Interesting.
I downloaded the application, installed it. Man, if I was in China, I would be stuck like this screenshot here, request timed out, request timed out,
yeah.
Request timed out.
Now, there is some argument that this has something to do with the Beijing 2008 Olympic Games. There's some China's pretty, they block a lot of stuff. They will block things based on.
So this is all over Notepad++.
I think there's more to it than that. But China has been known for, they regularly block access to websites that it finds objectionable, politically sensitive subjects. You know, if you Google Tiananmen Square, you don't get anything about the big tank and the guy and the squishing noise. You get pictures of the place. You don't get anything about the big uprising.
It seems from this article here that the author of a popular free text editor,
Notepad++, which a lot of web developers use.
I like Notepad++.
Yeah.
If you've ever had to open a text file in Windows, you've probably seen Notepad. It's really, really basic. It doesn't have any features whatsoever. Well, Notepad++ is an open source replacement that is like Notepad. You can read the text files, but it makes nice colors and indentions, so it makes things easier to read. Well, he obviously has a little beef against the whole Beijing Olympics thing.
Well, he's also he said that it's not against the Chinese people, it's against the Chinese government's treatment of Tibetan unrest. Because there's a whole lot of political bad blood between Tibet and China, yada yada yada. But so that's kind of his beef, and
he's boycotting the Olympics. Well, China decided in retaliation to boycott
Booyal
SourceForge, which is much bigger than just this one guy. So
I mean, there's definitely some political motivation, but I mean, that's in one day, two big stories about censorship and dropping torrents in Malaysia, blocking SourceForge and Google. I mean, all kinds of stuff has been blocked in China. It's very commonplace. You know, what's funny is if you look down the sidebar of recent articles in relation to this story, there's like 10 of them that have to deal with China blocking this site or blocking that site
They unblocked YouTube in China, it seems.
Really? Now, we had one of our customers at that computer store. She was at university in Beijing. She was going to school, and she had a ton of problems getting to information and connecting to the States through China.
What's interesting is the Chinese people are completely unaware of the problems because it's been blocked.
Because it's been blocked.
And not so much as the people of North Korea, which believe themselves to be the best country, most technologically advanced country in the world.
Yeah, there's some interesting stuff about that. Because, I mean, yeah, I read an article, somebody who got out of North Korea and was shocked and amazed to find that they were a little country that most people thought was crazy. And it's not the North Korean people.
No, but, it's Kim Jong-il.
Yeah, he was flat. I didn't find that article. It was an interesting read. But anyway, so
We take for granted what I'm saying, trying to say, the wealth of information we have available to us on the internet, and
but
the fact that it's not filtered.
But it's not always accurate. I got a really interesting story here.
Yes, fill me in.
Okay, we've talked about Grand Theft Auto 4, video game, very violent, very fun.
I've played a little bit of it.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, do you you remember the infamous rape scene?
Well, you know how bad my memory is, but
well, okay, yeah, granted, okay, but. Everybody knows about the infamous rape scene in Grand Theft Auto 4, right? You got bonus points, and I mean, okay.
I don't remember that.
That's because it doesn't exist.
Okay, I thought you were messing with me.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. But there's a Connecticut senator, Gail Schlossberg. She is apparently convinced that the rape scene is there. She said she just has to get far enough along in the game to access it. And
sounds like to me she's searching for an excuse to play.
Yeah, but
she got caught by her 13-year-old daughter. Mom, why are you playing this game? I'm
trying to protect the American people.
Oh yeah, it's important.
Up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, select, start. So, yeah, okay. So basically, at a press conference last week, she stated a law requiring clearer warning labels was needed to curb the corruption of youth. Now she doesn't. I got a little quote here. She doesn't quite seem to know what the label should read. Her statement was, I mean, what would it say? This game will make you a sociopath?
Well,
that was her soundbite.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that, we should have warning labels on CDs if there's foul music, and foul language, and games if they're violent. But we should also have warning labels that, McDonald's is going to make you fat.
Obese.
There's not one. And I don't know, the American public doesn't really seem to pay attention to warning labels anyway.
Yeah,
there's a big fat one on a pack of cigarettes that says "This is going to kill you."
Well, you're sucking on a flaming stick. I mean, come on, but that's a whole other rant.
But have you heard about Wanted? This movie Wanted that breaks out this weekend.
Yeah, Angie Jolie and
I heard a review of it this morning on the radio, and the guy said that it was too violent. He's not going to go see it because it's too violent. This is a movie critic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, so is that a bad thing? Because now that he said it's too violent, I definitely want to go see
it. People are going to flock to see it. Well, good.
Just like the story about GTA, they say this game is horrible. It's just so much violence. Well, I want to go play some more. Because if it's that violent, I mean, I've got a little bit of rage that I think I need to let out on some...
I think I'm going
to
buy this game for you.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get to the infamous rape scene because it doesn't exist.
I wouldn't expect the guys at Rockstar to stoop that low. Now, they have put some pretty low things in the game because you're playing
a bad guy.
An outlaw.
Yeah. It's an anti-hero game.
But
I want to know where she got...
I would imagine that this would be beyond what the guys at Rockstar
It's almost like PETA... boycotting Pokemon Snap, which is a little video game about creatures that fight and play, and, you know, Pikachu and Eevee, and why? It doesn't...
They're not even real animals.
They're not real animals.
So even if you had a Pikachu fur coat...
a Pikachu fur coat.
Well, he's
it would electrocute
small.
You, because Pikachu, that's his attack. Is it?
You make some nice mittens. Warm. It would self-warm your hands.
You can power your electric car with it, though.
Yeah.
Oh, dear, we just went off the rails.
Didn't we?
I got some cool robot news.
Yeah, you sent me a link of this machine crawling up. What
it's like a rocket-powered Hummer bot.
Yeah, it looks kind of like a Tech 3 engineer.
Oh, dear. We've been playing Supreme Commander at the store, so forgive us if we... Yeah. This is actually theguardian.co.uk. It's a British British news site. Basically, there's a new... It's called the Mule, Multifunction Utility Logistics and Equipment. There's a desert test site in Texas, and these soldiers are basically fighting, quote-unquote, insurgents. So they pull up this vehicle.
I like the controller.
Yeah, the tech pulls out a PlayStation 2 controller, a gamepad, and basically this thing can fire anti-tank missiles, has a turret-mounted machine gun, and a digital eyeball with laser and heat-recognizing target acquisition systems for aiming its weaponry.
Hot. I want one.
It's semi-autonomous, and it uses GPS. So basically, it is a Tech 3.
Yeah.
It's like, go to here, and then go to here, and then blow up that.
Yeah. So it's a Tech 3 unit.
Wow.
With tactical missiles.
Now, they're thinking that these are going to start shipping the Mule to hotspots in the next couple of years. The U.S. Army's ordered about 1,700 on order for 2014. Gosh, man. They're going to have a 29-to-1 ratio, robots to people.
They're partnered with iRobot, the people that make the...
The Roomba?
The Roomba and the Scuba.
So it'll also vacuum the battlefield. It's cleanup. It's there for cleanup. Oh, wow. Now, we had a story a few months ago about the little... It looked like a Malp from Stargate. It was a robot with treads, and it had machine guns and a flamethrower. And
oh, yeah, the sword.
It was the sword,
and they had to stop.
Target acquisition went crazy, and it started aiming and trying to fire at friendlies. Now, it wasn't loaded, thankfully.
We would have had a scene from RoboCop if it had been fully loaded.
Thank you for your cooperation.
So, sword started to point its weapon in the wrong way, so...
Now, this is a funny soundbite, or quote, though. The robot hasn't fallen over once, says David Byers, assistant program manager for the Mule. In fact, last summer in testing, it was being used to pull soldiers out of a ditch. Did they just randomly stick that in the article? I guess that's actually talking about the swords. This company is apparently promoting a heavily armed version of the sword called the Mars.
The Mule?
This one's called the Mars. This is the size of the sword. But it can be programmed. It apparently has upgraded no-fire zone algorithms. I don't know. Like, don't shoot anybody behind
basically,
this point.
They gave it. They gave it the electronic version of Prozac. Made it happy.
Yeah. Don't shoot anybody.
You don't really need to kill right now.
Pull this guy out of a ditch. Don't shoot him. Okay. And we all know about the UAVs. There's the Predator flight wing out of Vegas that we talked about. They fly missions.
The unmanned aerial vehicles. Yeah. I was like, UAV, is that like a sunscreen? We talked about those a couple of shows back about the Predator and the Scorpion.
Now, what's interesting is it's not just the U.S. Looks like the German Army's looking at this. The Brits, the Brits won't comment in this article. They wouldn't comment on whether or not they were going to start using robots to...
All we need now are satellites that shoot powerful lasers down upon it.
You're mad at me, aren't you?
I am very angry at you.
Chris and I both started playing Supreme. We've never really played it. So last night was the second game we'd ever played. And we're playing with the guys at the store who are seasoned veterans. And I found you have, okay, you build your ships and your robots and your guys. Well, my little guy, the people that I was playing, the race that I was playing, they have an experimental satellite weapon that can't be destroyed. You have to basically go to the base and destroy the control facility. Well, I planted three of these over Chris's base, and I melted his entire... He's mad at me, and I'm sorry, but it was awesome.
It was completely not fair. My poor little Supreme Commander was running around going, ooh, it's hot here, hot, burning my biscuits.
It's a giant magnifying glass burning the ants on the ground.
I felt like an ant when some kid with the... Exactly, I'm like...
That's why you were mad at me this morning. We're gonna have a rematch. We'll play again today.
It was unfair. And I've got to thinking, you know, it's just anger, madness, poundy fisty on table.
Oh, you want to play again today?
I want vengeance.
Wait, why don't we be on the same side and we'll work together to take Larry out?
Yeah, about that. This kid is
he's not human.
He's got a physics engine and a GPU attached to the side of his head.
They actually used him when they were making physics. Look, yeah, Larry's a great gamer. I mean,
he's had a USB port attached to the back of his head.
Yeah. He's an excellent gamer. I mean, he's amazing. And Supreme Commander is his jam. He is really good at that game. Now, we beat you guys last night, but it was 6-2.
Yeah, and I wasn't exactly happy with my teammate.
Well,
Larry is an awesome gamer, but team player, he is not.
Oh, goodness gracious. So we need lunch and then Supreme Commander.
Blue Falcon, that's all
I
got to say.
Remember the Alamo. Look, it's that time. Time for us to go race back to that computer store and either fix a bunch of broken and sick computers or play video games till our eyes pop out. But it's okay. I've got an eye doctor appointment next week. I'll just get new ones. Listen in next week, Saturdays at 1 p.m. on 1230 a.m. or catch us at thatcomputershow.net. Download past episodes, get reviews, and maybe we'll post some screenshots of me and my magnifying glass on Chris's face. Oh, listen, until next week, this is Steven.
And this is Chris.
And you have been listening to That Computer Show. Find it, view it, code it, jump and lock it, surf it, scroll it, code it.